Okay, well, I think we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Thank you all very much for being with us on the call today. It's another beautiful morning. If the housekeeping note, again, please hit *6 to mute your line. With so many people on the call, it's imperative that everyone do this in order for all of us to hear. So again, please *6 to mute your line, and then *6 again to unmute your line when you wish to speak. So again, *6 to mute your line, and then *6 to unmute your line when you wish to speak. So again, thank you all very much for making the time to be with us today, because as a community and as an industry, we are all in this together. As we know, COVID-19 is a continually evolving crisis on the national, state, and local levels. In Florida, there are now nearly 33,000 cases, with about 60% of those cases being in South Florida. Just this past week, Florida has added more than 6,000 new cases, and we've seen our numbers locally here grow with 213 cases of COVID-19 in our own community, and that's up by about 30 cases since last week. So again, locally, we're at 213 as of this morning here locally. We know that this is an economic crisis, and it is a human crisis. As I've done on every call, I really would like us all to take a moment, and in our days and throughout our opportunities that we are with our family and friends, and to take a moment to acknowledge the healthcare workers. These are the doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff, all of the EMTs, the paramedics. I mean, these folks are on the front line of this fight every single day. So, again, we need to certainly acknowledge and thank them. We also need to thank the grocery stockers and the cashiers and the food workers and the delivery service folks. I mean, all of these people are out there risking their lives every day on our behalf. And, again, want to acknowledge them and thank them and all of us to show a great deal of gratitude to these folks, because they're very courageous people. And remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to act in spite of it. So these healthcare workers and food service workers and grocery store staff, they're all in the front line. So again, definitely want to applaud and acknowledge them and show gratitude. I'd like to also share a few local updates. Governor DeSantis is expected to release phase one of the Reopen Florida plan today. As you will recall, and as I spoke more in depth on the call last week, Governor DeSantis has appointed that Reopen Florida task force that met every day last week. For representing every sector of the economy, obviously tourism and hospitality being a major part of that. And his office has taken the recommendations from the task force, working with healthcare professionals, and has developed this, what we anticipate it to be released today, this Reopen Florida Plan Phase 1. His Safer at Home Executive Order, EO 20-91, is set to expire tomorrow. So we will see if he extends it or not. Either way, he has to issue a new executive order, whether it'll continue on and have different parameters. Again, we'll have to wait and see what he does. But it is anticipated we will still be operating under a state of emergency. I find it so interesting that the governor's office has played this so very close to the vest, because, I mean, we haven't heard anything for a week. I mean, I think everybody, I mean, around the state has expected something, even Friday, Monday at the latest. And again, I've heard nothing, no leaks, no nothing. So it's pretty amazing how very, very close to the vest that this plan has been held. But we definitely expect it to be a phased approach, and one that will likely have the tightest restrictions in the places currently most impacted, such as South Florida, particularly Southeast Florida. We do not know whether there'll be county by county discretion. Because again, I think everybody appreciates that the decisions on reopening really need to be based on health data. That's really the underlying approach and walking that balance of reopening the economy, but again, making sure, you know, we're not going to have, you know, this get an uncontrolled resurgence in cases. I think everybody expects when it is reopened, there will be additional cases. You can't, that just comes with the territory, but whether it is manageable, and again, very cautious, phased approach. So once the governor releases his plan today, that certainly both the city and county that have been certainly talking and planning, they will jump into action to begin tailoring our community's approach. A new county city task force was formed last week, focusing on re-engaging our economy. It is led by the Office of Economic Vitality, Christina Paredes, who has been on this call several times, is heading it up through her organization. It has all three chambers of commerce, the colleges, healthcare, construction, banking, tourism. I'm the representative on that call. Like I said, that just started meeting last week. And again, we'll certainly get more engaged. There's another meeting on Friday that'll have more details once the governor's reopened Florida plan is released. So you can be sure that the reopening of our community and state will take a phased approach, just as we will restart our marketing strategies in a phased approach. I think everyone realizes there's still so much at stake and there's still so much uncertainty. A phased approach is really the best approach, both from reopening and, again, even as we restart marketing the destination. Again, it will be a phased approach. Real quickly, I wanted to take a few minutes to share some updates from Visit Tallahassee, the Leon County Tourism Office, some of our activities over the past week. As I've mentioned on the past few calls, next week, May 4th through the 8th, is National Travel and Tourism Week. And so this year's theme is the spirit of travel. And the Visit Tallahassee team has put together a page on visittallahassee.com that provides all the different ways that you all, as partners, can get involved and share the spirit of travel. We know there's going to be pent-up demand. We've been out in the marketplace making sure that Tallahassee is still out there in the consideration set, putting our messages and visibility out there of all the pictures and content on all the wonderful, cool things to do here when the time is right to travel. And so, again, having the spirit of travel as this year's theme, I think, makes a lot of sense, because we know that there will be pent-up demand, and particularly for in-state travel, people wanting more outdoor destinations, the smaller mid-sized destinations, not your big cities. So again, we are very, very well poised, and we're going to kind of kick this off and bring some optimism and spirit and a little hope in that during National Travel and Tourism Week next week. So check out the page on visittallahassee.com. It's got a toolkit with sample posts and visuals, and we'd like to ask you guys to snag some of those and share them on your social media channels. There's a Facebook profile picture page. There's some really cool Zoom backgrounds, so if you guys are doing any Zoom calls, we encourage you to use that. Again, these are all on visittallahassee.com, National Travel and Tourism Week page. We are going to move to Zoom calls next week. So you will see again, we'd love to see some of the Zoom backgrounds on the call next week. We're also requesting your help to create some visual collages for social media. The details are on the page, but we're asking you to share a picture in front of your business. It could be with your family in your backyard or at a park, but asking you to share these together. We are the spirit of tourism, and then I Heart Tally to make a little sign and take a picture and send it to us. Again, there's more information on visittallahassee.com, so I encourage you to check it out. We're going to be blanketing those everywhere during next week during National Travel and Tourism Week, and we encourage you all to do the same. We are going to send out an email tomorrow. So you guys tomorrow will have the full details on way to get involved in your inbox. And again, please keep us posted too on any events that you all are doing, any virtual events, please let us know. We would love to feature it. And next week, we also have a couple cool things. Is Royce Lovett is doing an Instagram takeover concert on Visit Tallahassee's Instagram. So again, Tallahassee's own Royce Lovett, who was on The Voice, is going to be taking over our Instagram next week, next Friday, I believe. And again, to do a special concert just for Tallahassee and us, and again, for want to plug this in, so make sure you're connecting and sharing it as well. As a reminder, Visit Tallahassee's Facebook partner page is live. So please search Visit Tallahassee Partners and please join the group. This is how a lot of communication is being shared. Again, we want to hear from you. So not only is us putting information out there, we want to hear from you, ways and how we can support you. And again, work together and leverage our relationship to can bring increased visitors and visibility to Tallahassee. So again, please join us on the Facebook partner page. The sales team continues to work with events and venues to rebook and reschedule events. They're also tracking all the lost business and the estimated loss of direct spending in the community. So they're continuing to do that. But again, they're trying to get these groups to rebook and reschedule instead of cancel, and they're working very hard to do that. As I mentioned, next week we'll be moving this call. These calls that we have every Wednesday are now going to move to Zoom. So you can still call in, but then you can also be on video so we can see each other. So they'll be the same day, the same time, and we're just going to be so excited to see everybody. So again, we'll be sending out the details very soon on how to join us. So again, these calls are really provided to share learning, share knowledge, share support for each other. We've invited several guest speakers on various topics to be on the call this morning. We always get some great speakers, and then we'll open up the call to hear from you all. So first on deck this morning will be David Pollard. He is the Director of Aviation at the Tallahassee International Airport. We're going to hear from him to share some updates on how the airport has adapted and the steps they've taken during COVID-19. And what they're seeing in the pipeline, in addition to highlighting some of the new improvements that are currently planned at the airport. Next, we will hear from the indomitable Matt Thompson, the managing partner of For the Table Hospitality, which, of course, created the food and beverage brands such as Madison Social, Township, Centrale, Social Catering and Events, Soto Bakery. And Matt, in his spare time, also serves as a department chair for Flagler College's strategic communication majors, and he teaches classes every semester. So Matt and For the Table has been truly a leader and an innovator in our community long before COVID-19, and true to form, they've been an early adopter of very much innovative, adaptive service delivery models and always doing very cool cutting-edge programs. So we're going to be hearing from Matt this morning. And last is certainly not least, we're going to be hearing from Ology Brewing, the super innovative experimental brewery. I'm hoping lots of people on this call, if not everybody, has sampled some of their fun brews. We have Paul Woodward. He is the co-founder and partner with us this morning, who they've not only successfully adapted their service delivery model, but their brewery is thriving and expanding. So we will start off with David. Then we'll turn it over to Matt, and then we'll turn it over to Paul. So for the sake of time today, we will hold all questions to the end after all of the speakers have spoken. So let me now start with David. Welcome, David Pollard, Director of Aviation at Tallahassee International Airport. Thank you so much for joining us on today's call.
Good morning, Carrie, and good morning to the group. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to give you a short update on the airport and some of our efforts that we've been working towards out here. From the standpoint of a quick snapshot of where we're at right now, in terms of passenger volume going through the TSA security checkpoint, passenger traffic is down 95% nationwide. We're certainly right up towards those numbers ourselves. So as we release our monthly reports, you can certainly expect us to show declining traffic as airlines are canceling flights and adjusting their schedules in response to the situation. Also, we've been notified by the FAA air traffic control tower that they are going to temporarily reduce some of their staffing hours. We don't anticipate any impacts from that. We have procedures in place to continue to move both commercial and general aviation traffic through the community, but it is reduced hours by 3 hours a day. From the standpoint, you may have heard about our CARES grant that we received. We're working with our airlines, our rental cars, and numerous partners as they're requesting relief from us, and we're working towards the best utilization of that CARES grant, which was approximately $21 million. As you can imagine, our revenues have declined sharply as we have that reduced traffic. We continue to focus on recovery. And so as we press ahead, we've used this as an opportunity to really focus on our capital program. So as we ride this thing out, we're going to focus on our capital programs. And we've got a lot of great projects that are actually making their way forward through all this. So soon we'll begin improvements to our air traffic control tower. I just mentioned the reduced hours of staffing. So that actually works very well from a timing standpoint, that we can get into that air traffic control tower and improve that facility as we move ahead. Also, we'll be working on some new passenger loading bridges out here and preparing our various airport parcels, improving the site development and getting some environmental work done going that we can improve upon those parcels and prepare those for future development. We're also working on a very large runway project. Our north-south runway is currently out for bids. That project will be over $40 million project that we hope to get up and off the ground. We're pursuing federal and state funding on that project as we sort through all this as well. And we hope to have and receive some future grant announcements related to that runway project. We're also working with the state on the road improvements out in front of the terminal. Many of you are aware of what's known as the Airport Gateway Project. So we're working to marry up the state road project out in front of the terminal, the Airport Gateway Project, and then also working on some new rental car facilities. That's the service area where they wash those vehicles, fuel them back up, and put them back in service and make them available for rentals. So we're working on a whole new, what they call quick turnaround facility for the rental cars. Those of you familiar with the airport, the site that's currently across Capitol Circle, where those rental cars stage their vehicles, we're talking about a complete new facility adjacent to the terminal facility that would replace that, and then we would tear all those old facilities down. We're also working on a new international passenger processing facility. We continue to focus on the design and the efforts as we continue our progress with the international. We are moving ahead with that and coordinating very closely with U.S. Customs and Border Protection as we proceed through about 60% design on the required facilities to accommodate U.S. Customs and international flights as we welcome those into our community. And lastly, the Blue Angels, you may have heard a lot of discussion and seen things out on social media there. That is an effort being coordinated by the United States Navy and the United States Air Force. And I encourage you to monitor their social media sites. There's been some information, let me say, not so accurate information that was out there initially saying that Monday they were going to be here. So I encourage you to follow their sites directly as they need to consider factors like the weather and their schedule and training and things that go along with that. But we do expect the Blue Angels to come into our community. And when you see that schedule and you start to hear about them coming here, I would just encourage you to please maintain social distancing. If you look out on social media, you'll see several examples of what not to do as they come into our community. So we certainly encourage you to maintain social distancing once they do. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Carrie.
Great, David, thank you so much. Really appreciate that update. Exciting to see and hear from you about a lot of the construction projects that you've accelerated at the airport. Because certainly I've seen that locally here, and I know locally they've accelerated some construction projects to utilize this kind of downtime, and then the same statewide and certainly nationally. So happy to hear you guys are doing it out there too. And there's just so many exciting improvements that you have going on out there. Again, the international passenger processing, which again, we're very excited about to be able to get passengers in addition to international cargo. And I think probably, David, the thing I really want to thank you for is truly being future-focused, that you've got your eye on the future and you're planning and actively engaged and being future-focused to be stronger when we come out of this. So, again, really appreciate that. And on a side note, our staff has been so excited about the Blue Angels coming. We've got Joe is following them religiously on Twitter, and we understand it may be Saturday. Again, we are very excited about that. So, David, and thank you for your role in that turn. And thank you for being with us on the call this morning. Let's hold the questions till the end. So all of our speakers have had the opportunity to share this morning. So now, again, thank you, David. Now let's welcome Matt Thompson. So thank you so much, Matt Thompson, for the Table Hospitality. Thank you for joining us on the call today.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. So those of you that know me, you know that I'm fairly candid and straight to the point. And so I'll probably say some very candid comments about this situation. We at For the Table Hospitality, and I think I can speak for the entire hospitality community, have been absolutely crushed by this. When I talk to people, and I've talked to the county, and I've talked to other people about, you know, what are plans and what are you doing, my answer is kind of the same. Unfortunately, Tallahassee is a community, and probably there's probably other ones, but Tallahassee is a community that is very unique in the standpoint of this hit in the season that you make the most money for most people. Yeah. The spring in Tallahassee, as we're all aware, is gorgeous. And I'm looking outside right now, and I think it's 70 degrees without a cloud in the sky. And this is the time where you make the money to be able to sustain the summer, and which is brutal. And so I tell people this is a 12 to 18 month outlook for the hospitality community in Tallahassee. I echo the sentiment of not just because of the location of what we have down at College Town, but I echo the sentiment of David Coburn, FSU's athletic director. God help us all if football season is erased. It will absolutely be brutal because of the fact that the fall normally pays back the summer. Well, if you have no strong fall, you now got to make it through the winter, which is 4 to 6 weeks. That's typically really low. Then you get back to the spring, which is good, but you're going to be paying all the way back what you can. And then you flip the switch and now you are looking at another Tallahassee summer. So I think we're all holding on to probably September 2021 when Notre Dame comes to town on Labor Day weekend to spend ridiculous amounts of money on college football. That impacts the entire community. So that's kind of how I look at it from a global perspective, kind of in the weeds a little bit. March 17th for the hospitality industry was a yo-yo. That was the day that they decided to go to 50% occupancy, but we didn't understand the laws and the rules on alcohol. And then on March 20th, we went to takeout only, as we're all aware. Within the period of 24 hours, what was less than 1% of our business, which is delivery and takeout, became 100% of our business. And there was a lot of tripping and falling, obviously, I think with everybody trying to figure out that drastic business change. We quickly turned our attention to, I hesitate to use the word fighting because they are good partners when we're running normally, but the Uber, the Bite Squad, the delivery services of food take upwards of 32% of the order from the restaurant side. So that means if you spend $10 with us for a burger, $3.20 of that purchase goes to Uber Eats. And I don't have to tell you about labor and COG. Basically, there's no money. In fact, you could be even losing money on that particular transaction. So we turned our attention to trying to educate the public, Tallahassee, about delivery fees. That was the kind of spur of the Tallahassee Foodies partnership between all of us. It just wasn't us. With the Rally for Tally that happened that second weekend, I believe it was March 27th. The entire push was to let people know that you can pick up from us and it will save a lot of money. And so, and through that, we established a lot of partnerships, which I'm certainly proud of. I know Ology speaking next, Nick and I collaborated on a deal, right away that was successful. Nick, I got to get back with you, man. We got to do that again. We've collaborated with Orange Theory Fitness on a new program called Mad Slim to help you lose those 15 pounds, or in my case, that feels like maybe 30 that you've gained during quarantine in the month of May. So we're working through ideas like that. We partnered with Sage with a new cocktail club called the Tallahassee Cocktail Club, where cocktails are delivered to your doorstep on Friday to enjoy a little bit of libations. We have a new collaboration that we're working on with Tally Mac Shack. Think of it like an adult ice cream truck. And they did a phenomenal job with their sausage stimulus, as you guys probably saw. And then we had turned our attention to online. We are very lucky in the standpoint of we have so many some people describe what we do as a apparel company with a restaurant problem. And I think that's a fair statement at times. And we were able to come out the gate with new T-shirt designs, new collaborations, and really dig up some of the old things that we've done that have helped us through this time. Like everybody else, you know, we went after money. I want to give kudos to the county. OEV acted really quick. And it was a seamless, painless, you know, grant process. And I really do appreciate all their help for that. I also appreciate the state of Florida coming out with bridge loans. I think most people in the hospitality industry, if you were lucky enough to receive one, are looking at it as a last resort due to the terms on that particular loan. And then obviously the federal money with the PPP fund. We went after pretty hard, and we were awarded. So I think you know, it's been an interesting time. It's been an emotional drain, and I'm not like unlike anybody else on this call, with a lot of ups and downs. Our catering company took the biggest hit out of our organization. Well, I guess Centralia and Township, considering they're closed and we consolidated into Madison Social, but catering had, when FSU canceled the ACC tournament, I should say, and then students weren't coming back, within 24 hours, our catering company lost $150,000 in cancellation. To date, that number is upwards of $400,000 in cancellations and events. And so instead of whining about that, which certainly we do whine about it, I'm not going to lie, we pivoted quickly and we started doing take-home meals that have done very well to be able to keep salaries afloat and all the things that are necessary. And Four Rivers, who has spearheaded a statewide collaboration with the Department of Ag, brought us in Gadsden County to feed kids, about 15 to 2,000 kids a day that are on the meal plan program. So we are fighting every day like everybody else. No idea starts with no. Everything starts with maybe, and how can we figure it out? And with that, I'll turn it over and back to Carrie.
Okay, Matt, thank you so much, and thank you for all you do, and you're just a tireless advocate for the community, the industry, and particularly, for restaurants, and what you've done, again, with all your partnerships and collaborations are truly a model for the rest of the industry. I'll have to check into that, Tallahassee Cocktail Club. The sausage stimulus guys, the Mac Shack, we had them on this call a couple weeks ago when they first launched. And again, we've talked about a lot of the creativity and the innovation and the really cool, unique partnerships that if there's a silver lining, it's the partnerships that have really formed as of this. Again, but I thank you for all you're doing and for all you're sharing. Again, the other takeaway for all of us that I heard is making sure we are pick up from the restaurants. I know I've been doing that as well to have shifted to that is so much better than the delivery services. So thank you for providing some additional detail and clarity on that for all of us, that picking up is the curbside is the way to go. So thank you so much again, Matt, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. Thank you. And next I would like to welcome Paul Woodward from Ology Brewing. They are doing they're super innovative, super cool brewery in what they're doing, and they've got a lot of exciting news. So Paul or Nick, are you with us this morning? And thank you so much for joining us. There we go. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey there, guys. Are you with us? I am with you. Yep. This is Paul Woodward with Ology Brewing. Glad to be on the call this morning. Matt would definitely love to work with you on other projects. It was great getting you a lot of Pilsner. That was a lot of fun. One of those things to do with Matt's show at the beginning, all the different things they referenced. We were just, I guess, dropping the bucket for that. We at Ology Brewing, one of the most innovative things I guess we've done is we've made, probably 8,000 gallons of hand sanitizer at the moment. We had already gotten a distiller's license, and we were planning on announcing, we did announce the distillery right before everything got shut down. It was kind of fateful timing for us. We were able to use that license to go out and buy a tanker truckload of 95% ethanol and then process that into hand sanitizer quite rapidly. So that's been a kind of massive pivot on our staff's part. The undertaking to do that is immense. Working with tanker truckloads full of ethanol is a totally different thing than working with, very stable 8% or lower beers typically. So it was a big learning curve. Had the consultants help us and got to pull that off. And actually, the state had contacted us to EOC at the state, just basically running down the list and asking anybody that had a chemical or distiller's license if they could provide them with hand sanitizer. And to our team's credit, we said yes. It's one of those things you say yes to before you really know if you can. And we definitely delivered, so that's been fantastic. And we've fulfilled two contracts for them at this point. So we're glad that hand sanitizer is getting out to the communities that need the most through the state's channels. Then we have hand sanitizer available for purchase for the community. I think a lot of the doctor's offices locally have bought bulk hand sanitizer from us over the last month. And then, for anybody at home that needs, 8 ounces or a gallon to refill any empty containers you have, we do have those for you to use. So kind of like everybody else on the call that's in the hospitality industry, we scrambled immediately to move to curbside online ordering. That went very well. Something, thankfully, we had some very technical people on our team. One of our partners that does a lot of headline, Brian Clark, has a computer science and engineering background, and he built us a site in a matter of basically 4 hours and had us on curbside the moment the governor announced that we couldn't be open anymore. So yet again, just a really good, diverse team, and the value of that is pretty awesome. Anything else going on? We have another location. We just signed a lease in January for our new Northside location. We'll be the first brewery on the north side of I-10 in Tallahassee. It is in the old Beef O'Brady spot on Cary Forest. So where there's a Red Elephant in there right now, Jerry's Cigars, the Newberry, which my four-year-old loves the Newberry, and he's going to see that a lot more, I guess, now. So that project, we had already gutted the space, and we're starting to build out. We put that on pause at the moment, although we're moving forward in small ways as we can. We've focused on our curbside and hand sanitizer business, and then we will be at the moment, we've opened curbside available to the north side out of that Cary Forest location, which has been fantastic and really well received by the community. Some things of note at the global kind of macro scale, obviously draft sales are basically zero. All of our distributors immediately canceled any draft orders, and we were sitting on a cooler full of kegs that were supposed to be shipped out. We distribute beer not only in Florida, North Florida, South Florida, Central Florida, but we also distribute beer in Atlanta, in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, throughout Georgia, Virginia, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Chicago, and occasionally in Europe and sometimes in Japan. So we send a lot of beer around the world, and I think that's one of the most exciting things is we're one of the highest rated breweries in Florida, in the top 10 for ratings by kind of the premier rating app that all the beer geeks and consumers use. And we're, this little tiny brewery in Tallahassee exporting what I consider Tallahassee greatness to the world. And I think that's, we're really focused on helping put Tallahassee on the map by sending amazing beer into communities that really might not even know what the word Tallahassee means. There's people in Minneapolis that don't know Tallahassee is the capital of Florida, and they're drinking beer and they're amazed and they're saying, wow, like this is Tallahassee, Florida, where's that? You'll be surprised all of our beer friends that want to come brew a beer with us from around the world and the country. They'll be like, oh yeah, like I'm going to be in Miami, like we should totally make a beer together. I'm like, that's 8 hours away in a drive. They're like, what? so like we are helping people realize some of the benefits of Tallahassee. So when they do come here, we like to take them to the coast and see the Forgotten Coast and, help them learn about our community and what we're about. And we're not just South Florida. So I think that's pretty special. And we travel a lot and we're on the road a lot telling people how awesome Tallahassee is. For us, draft sales are down. We're like literally every other alcohol beverage company, or especially beer, most everything else is already in package, but has switched everything to package. So canning everything and or going to crowlers, mostly canning though, or bottling, which is a big shift that's more labor intensive. Our margins are lower. For us, it's not really what our business was designed around, although I think we're seeing some unique benefits from doing it. The brand recognition of a can is just significantly higher than a tap handle in a bar. So it's been really fun for our designer, Steve, to get to make a ton more cans and can art. And you guys will see a lot more cans from us in the future over the course of, this recovery. Hopefully draft gets back and, we can be in those mattos of the world again. But we know that's just going to be a process that we don't really have control over, unfortunately. So alcohol sales in the U.S. have skyrocketed when it comes to off-premise to-go items, whether that's liquor, beer, wine. The numbers are pretty staggering. It's one of the things that is people always say alcohol is recession-proof, but it's kind of proving to be in that aspect. I don't think people anticipated restaurants to be closed and bars to be closed, but package store sales and grocery sales are through the roof for packaged beer. So right now we're making as much beer as possible to get out to our distributors and to the community through curbside pickup, like Matt talked about, is definitely the best way. It is a big difference for us when people buy beer directly from a brewery. The brewery gets that revenue and that margin that a distributor would get and that the retailer would get, and it's really what breweries live and breathe on. And without that, they couldn't exist. And that's the same thing for distilleries. And we are now also operating Ology Distilling. And I think that's one of the things that the state needs to do a much better job on is updating the laws around distilleries. If distilleries could have tap rooms, which they cannot have, if they could have a bar that they operated, their ability to make enough money at their single location where they're producing also to really reinvest in growth. That's something that large liquor brands don't want, and it's something that as a community in Tallahassee we should be pushing for to change. So as we get into the world for distilling, that's one of the things we'll be looking at. You look at St. Augustine as a massive tourist destination. Tallahassee needs a distillery, and they need one that drives people into the city. We are going to be focused in the distillery on some broad-ranging products. We're going to have a beautiful vodka, some great gins. But really, at the moment, our wheelhouse is going to be really fine old-aged rums. We feel like something we love. We've all drank really, really high-end, non-sweetened, non-messed with. There's no spices in them. They taste like really, really expensive, beautiful bourbons and whiskeys when they're done right. They don't taste like the rum from your college days. And there's about there's really only three premium producers in the whole U.S. in that space. And we hope to be the fourth one. And those producers do drive a lot of traffic to their communities. They have people from all over the country and the world that come in to do barrel picks. And there's rum groups across Europe that are very into, securing and buying and experiencing the place that their rum is made, and they're bringing home an entire barrel for their group of friends. So that's kind of on a tourist side, something that we hope to grow into over time as we have maturating stock of barrels. So look for more information about that. We'll probably start off, honestly, with bringing in a really, really high-end example of a 8 to 12-year-old aged single cask rum. That we will delineate its exact lineage, where it came from, where it was aged, and then putting our label on it, but with a lot of transparency to the consumer that this isn't rum we made, but it's rum we want you to learn about and, like, experience in Tallahassee. So there's a lot there, from beer to hand sanitizer to a new location to liquor and the laws around it and how all this translates to whether people come to Tallahassee or not. So. Anyways, hope you guys enjoy, and thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Great. Paul, thank you so much, and really appreciate you being with us today and sharing that great information. I know you had a lot going on. I think this gives you now three locations. Is that correct? Oh, you may have muted.
That is correct. Sorry there. I muted myself back. Yes, we have three locations. Two, we're operating curbside. One is kind of switched to focused on that hand sanitizer production and beer production. So one's on Capitol Circle by Tom Brown Park. One's in Midtown, and one's on the north side of Cary Forest.
Great. You are covering all sides of the community. And I would imagine, yes, that your north side location, especially being the only brewery on the north side, but also because you just make this tremendous product, will be very successful. Congratulations, and I know it's been a tough, again, all so many new things going on, and like every business have had to pivot, have had to adapt, but it sounds like, again, you all were real smart about it, and with this shift into the hand sanitizer, and really do appreciate what you're doing to help get Tallahassee visibility around the world, so exporting your great product. So, however, our office, Paul, can work with you and Nick As far as any ways that, you know, we can be of any assistance as you're going into some of these other locations, particularly any of our target market locations, would love to see if there's an opportunity to partner. So again, we want to support you and everybody on the call. We are here to support you all. So thank you so much for being on the call. Congratulations.
One more thing is the hand sanitizer. Anybody on this call or any hospitality as soon as you slowly open up need hand sanitizer, please reach out to us. We will do our best to take care of you. So I think we're very price competitive in the bulk hand sanitizer market, and we're local, so it's easy. There's no shipping. You can come pick it up, or we can, if it's a big enough order, we'll drive it over to you. So.
And that information can be found on the Ology website, right, about hand sanitizer? Okay, perfect. So we'll direct folks there. So, again, thank you very much, Paul. Thank you, David. Thank you, Matt and Paul. Let's open it up now. Does anyone have any questions for David, Matt, or Paul for any one of these great speakers on our call this morning? So again, star 6 to unmute your line. And do we have any questions or comments? Anyone? You guys did such an awesome job. That's why they are. I mean, a lot of great information this morning. Again, kind of do last call. Is there any questions for any of our speakers this morning? Okay, great. Well, again, thank you all very, very much. I really do appreciate y'all being there, sharing such great information. Again, we're whatever we can do, you know, certainly my shop here to help you all in any way. We do these calls now, just switching to Zoom every Wednesday. Again, really appreciate you being with us. So now we'll open it up just for any comments from anyone on the call. Again, these calls are not only to share learning and share knowledge, but also to share support for each other. So is there any comments from anyone on the call? Any updates of information or any way that we can support you during this time? Okay, well, hearing none, again, want to remind everybody it will be a Zoom call next week, so you can choose to be visible, be on video or not, but again, we will switch to a Zoom platform, and that information will be shared, that link, in the next day or so. On the next week's Zoom call, we will hear from Greg Cohen of Lofty Pursuits, talking about some of their cool new programs and business adaptations. Along with Russell Dawes from the Tallahassee Museum to share some updates on what's happening out there and provide some insight on how the museum community as a whole is leading and adapting nationally and around the state. And we will also hear from Dr. Joseph St. Germain of Downs and St. Germain Research. They are a leading tourism research firm, and in fact, they are our tourism research firm of record. And Joseph will be sharing insights on what they are seeing here locally, around the state, and even globally. So, again, that'll be on next week's Zoom call, another information-packed call. So, again, thank you all for being with us. We will get through this together. We're all in this together, and we will get through this together. Please continue to share your updates with us. As we know, again, just that there's a lot of talk as we reopen, but remember that all four quarters of this COVID-19 pandemic have not yet been played. So keep that in mind. We may just be, you know, halftime. We've still got some, you know, we're not, the game isn't, you know, over yet when we reopen. This is, as Matt and other speakers have said, this is a we're forever changed, and it's going to be a long haul to get there, particularly until we get the testing and the vaccine. So let's continue to be safe, continue our efforts to flatten the curve, continue to be future-focused, and prepare to come back stronger than ever. So thank you for being with us this morning. Be safe, be smart, and be kind, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Thank you so much.